Hare Krishna. So today we are very, very happy that we have His Grace Radha Dyuti Prabhu with us. A small brief introduction is as follows. So Prabhuji, academically Prabhuji is double graduate. Prabhuji has done his graduation in physics. And after that Prabhuji has done his engineering in instrumentation. After completing his studies, Prabhuji has worked in a well-known chemical industry. And Prabhuji has also served as a lecturer for 5 years in a well-known engineering college. And after this academic career and professional career, Prabhuji joined Radha Gopinath Temple in December 2003. And since then, Prabhuji is involved in various services in the temple. The very first service that Prabhuji was assigned was Prabhuji was administrator of Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education Base, which conducts various courses like Journey of Self-Discovery, Bhagavad Gita course, and Bhagavatam course. Prabhuji also been a member of Security Department for 3 years. Prabhuji is very much deeply involved in serving the deities of Radha Gopinath, Gaur Nithai, and Sri Gopalji. Prabhuji is very, very well known and famous for making sweets for them. Prabhuji makes various types of milk sweets for the lordships. And not only that, Prabhuji has been instructed by temple management to be to the Govardhan and learn a very special sweet called a Son Papdi, which has been a part of Rajbhog to their lordships. And Prabhuji also accompanies various groups of devotees to various yatras, to Jaipur, to Rameshwaram, to Udupi, to Hampi, to Ahobilam. And lately Prabhuji is involved in the deities installation at various centers and temples of ISKCON. Prabhuji has helped in the installation of deities at Govardhan Eco Village, at Ujjain Temple, Mira Road Temple, and Thiruvananthapuram Temple, etc. So today, instead of sweets, Prabhuji will serve us sweet words. So let us welcome Prabhuji by loudly chanting 3 times.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Om Namo, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So, after all that description of sweets, I know today being Ekadashi, it is literally very difficult for many devotees. What to speak of people in the outside world? Fasting is something so alien. Actually, if we see last year, 2016, every year from Sweden, they give out Nobel Prizes in different disciplines. So last year, the 2016 Nobel Prize for Medicine was given to one doctor from Japan. And this was for his research on a process or an activity which is within our body, which happens within our body, which is known as autophagy. Very strange term. But this autophagy is a natural process which occurs many times in case of starvation or when we deny the body nutrition or food. And this actual autophagy is important. Why it was given such a premier, such a prime importance is because this process of autophagy within our body is important to prevent or to fight cancers, and also it plays a vital role in degrading and consuming cells within our body which are infected by bacteria and viruses. Like we know, most diseases are caused by bacteria or viruses. So this autophagy happens when there is starvation or there is lack of food. So now when science brought this forward, then we can understand that even in ancient India, since time immemorial, we have this practice of fasting. You know, especially Vaishnavas, as Vaishnavas, we fast on Ekadashis, which we are doing today. We are fasting for Varuthini Ekadashi. So every fortnight, one day in a fortnight, we fast according to every individual's capability. Maybe some devotees, they fast completely, even from water on every Ekadashi. Those who can't do that, they may take milk, fruits, water. So like that, different grades of fasting are there. But the basic idea behind the fasting is that we give the body a rest on a very gross level. The body is given a rest, and we, that time which we save is utilized for certain other activities. So this has been a practice. Now there are so many different sects and different faiths in India, but every faith and every sect has some sort of fasting practice. So in India it is a very ancient thing, fasting or starving the body of food. And therefore, automatically we are inducing the body into this process of autophagy. And therefore, if we see traditionally, in India there was not so much, we don't have so much incidences of people having cancer or such diseases. But nowadays those incidences are on the rise, maybe because the incidence of fasting is reducing among the people. So many other things, but this is just one aspect. So if we see fasting as a spiritual practice, it is not something which is restricted to India or which is restricted to this Varnashram Dharma, or which is restricted to the Hindu religion as it is more commonly known throughout the world. Even in the various other great faiths of this world, like Christianity, they have fasting for Lent, which is a 40-day fasting. And what do they do when they do this fasting? What is the process? Why? Why do they do that? Because during the 40 days of Lent, the Christians remember the time when Jesus went into the desert to fast and pray before beginning his work for God. And similarly, we have for the Muslims in the faith, Islamic faith, the month of Ramzan, where the Muslims honor the time when they believe that God revealed the first verses of the Quran. And in this month, the Muslims atone and seek nearness to God by fasting and abstaining from vices. So we see fasting as a spiritual practice is not something which is very restricted to Hindu or India. It has got universal connotations. So fasting in any religion, you know, whether we fast, so this fasting actually promotes good health. How? By purifying the body of various toxins which tend to accumulate in the body over time. Also, it reduces stress. So therefore, fasting, actually what we do while we are fasting, we are actually promoting good health. That is just a very gross aspect. But also on a spiritual level, all the great faiths in this world, they promote fasting. Now, let us take this discussion to one step higher from fasting. Especially today, being a Sunday, is a holiday for everyone. And actually this word holiday can be broken up in a more proper way as a holy day. For many faiths in the world, even today, some faiths, they observe when it is their holy day, like in the Jewish faith, when it's a Sabbath, they won't do any work. They will only do anything, they will only worship the Lord, and they will do activities which are related to worshipping and praying to the Lord, which is Saturday. Generally, they observe it on Saturday. I know devotees who work for Jewish organizations or Jewish companies, companies which are owned by Jews, and so for them, Saturday is off. Saturday is a holiday, just because it's owned by a Jewish company. So even today, some of the faiths, they observe that holiday is actually as a holy day. So today being Sunday plus Ekadashi, so Sunday as a holiday is more today, it's a holy day because it is Ekadashi. And why it is holy day because it is Ekadashi? Because Ekadashi is also known as Harivasara or Madhava Tithi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his bhajan, Shuddha Bhakata Charane Renu, he sings, Madhava Tithi Bhakati Janani. Madhava Tithi, or the days which are dear to the Lord, like Ekadashi, or the appearance day of the Lord, like Janmashtami. These days, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls them as Bhakti Janani. They are like they give birth to devotional service. What exactly do we mean when we say they give birth? Or any activity which is performed to please the Lord on these days is especially potent. It helps us develop our relationship with the Lord. The Lord actually reciprocates with the devotee in a more intimate, he is more pleased actually when the devotee performs some activity to serve him, to worship him on these particular days. So therefore, today I thought, let us discuss about various instances, certain instances which came to my mind about fasting. Specifically, fasting from in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, right from the first canto, we see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, actually the whole birth of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it starts. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Parikshit Maharaj retiring to the banks of the Ganges. And what does he do? He gives up eating or drinking. Totally, he gives up consuming any food, and that is, we see, one of the reasons, you know, totally, not just, see, this is fasting, does not just mean giving up food and all those things. Yes, that is there, but then if you would like to sustain this fasting on a gross level, it has to have a much more spiritual understanding and much more deeper practice actually. Now, what do I mean by that? Many times, devotees have this experience, especially on Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi. It is very difficult if you are alone. You know, if devotees are alone, then it is very difficult to maintain the fast even without drinking water. But if you are in a group of devotees, then it becomes more tolerable. But if you are just, you know, with a group of devotees with no specific aim or specific activity, then also it is not so easy. But if you are with a group of devotees and suppose there is Harinam Sankirtan going on throughout the day, and we are engaged in chanting the names of the Lord in a group of devotees with nice musical instruments and everything, then that how we are actually fasting and how the time is going, we can't even, you know, like they say, in time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. So similarly, we don't even realize the passage of time, we don't even realize the pangs of hunger, the thirst, when we are in that kind of association, where it is more, you know, focused on the holy names, more focused on pleasing the Lord. So therefore, the essential aspect of fasting is more than fasting the gross senses, it has to be feasting the spiritual senses. So if we are engaged actively in feasting the spiritual senses, then fasting the gross senses becomes like a side benefit. You don't even think so much about it. Or if you are sitting with a group of devotees and chanting, say, extra rounds, 64 rounds, or say 108 rounds, so we don't even, you know, it's that whole spiritual energy carries us through, and the lack of any nutrition, food, or any water to drink does not even bother us. So the most important thing on holy days, on Madhavatithi, especially on Ekadashi, is, yes, this aspect of fasting is there, but that is a side issue. Rather, this fasting has to propel us, or it has to encourage us to feast our spiritual senses. So therefore, we should take this opportunity to engage as much as possible all our senses in the service of the Lord. So this is very nicely exhibited by Parikshit Maharaj when he retires to the banks, or when he comes to know about his impending death. He immediately retires to the banks of the Ganges and totally gives up eating, drinking. But why? So that he can hear about the pastimes of the Lord from Sukhdev Goswami, and he does not want to waste even a single moment in any other activity but hearing the glories of the Lord from Sukhdev Goswami. So therefore, we see that eagerness to engage in the process of hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead absolutely does not even bring to the front any thought of food or water or anything. Also, we have the pastime of Rantidev. Rantidev is very famous for giving in charity, even at the cost of his own health or his own life. Again, that is a case where he is fasting, but the principle is how he gives to others about his compassionate nature. Now, what to speak of great devotees like Parikshit Maharaj and Rantidev? If we go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of fasting to achieve something, or to in order to please some personality, is even exhibited. I mean, this is not something new. This is not something, because now Nobel Peace Prize is given to autophagy, so fasting is good, so everybody should know. This has been something which has been practiced by everyone since time immemorial. This information is there in the pages of Vedas, and everybody has been practicing, whether he's a devotee, whether he's a layman, whether he's a non-devotee, whether he's a demon. Even if we see in Bhagavatam, we have examples of demons like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who underwent so much austerities, practiced so much fasting, so to say, without food, water, even without air. They underwent all this just to please a certain personality and to get something which they wanted. So this fasting is not something new. In the pages of Bhagavatam, over and over, and of course, today evening we will be hearing His Grace Gaurang Prabhu describing about Dhruva Maharaj, how Dhruva Maharaj also underwent so much fasting. So fasting is something which is over and over, and as a theme it comes. And one of the very famous pastimes about fasting, specifically Ekadashi fasting, in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is, who else have I left out? Yes, my friends from Vidyapit. Yes, Ambarish Maharaj. Very famous pastime. So I thought today I will discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam about this pastime of King Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj, he was a son of King Nabhag. And he was a very, very, very great devotee of the Lord. So one time, the description of how Ambarish Maharaj would serve the Lord is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is such a fantastic description. Srimad Bhagavatam says that Savai mana krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. Every part of his body Ambarish Maharaj would engage in the service of the Lord. There would be no part, no sense organ or none of the parts of his body which would not be engaged actively in serving the Lord, in glorifying the Lord. So beginning with Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind. Savai mana. Why mind? Why we are beginning with mind? Anybody has any clue? Mind. What is the description of mind in Bhagavad Gita? Lord Krishna gives mind. Na. Among senses, I am the mind. Of all the senses, I am the mind. So mind is the I would say enabling factor or the driving force behind all the sense organs and all the working organs. So therefore, first Savai mana krishna padaravindayor. So if this mind is properly engaged in the meditation or in thoughts of Krishna, then rest of the senses will automatically fall in place. So therefore, when we read this description of Ambarish Maharaj, how Ambarish Maharaj engaged all his knowledge gathering senses, all his active senses in the service of the Lord, the first description comes of how he engaged his mind. And how he did that was Savai mana krishna padaravindayor. King Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. And after that, vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. The tongue or his words, vacha, he engaged in describing the glories of the Lord. Vaikuntha gunanu varnane, guna anu varnane. And then his hands, karau, harer mandira marjanadishu. He engaged his hands actively in cleaning the temple of the Lord. And shrutim chakarachyuta satkathodaye. Shrutim means his power of hearing. He engaged his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. Hearing the words spoken by Krishna is hearing Bhagavad Gita. And the hearing the words spoken about Krishna is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, King Ambarish engaged his ears in hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drushav. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna. Then Krishna's temples and Krishna's places. So he went to different pilgrimage places like Mathura, Vrindavan. So devotees go on yatra, like this year we are planning to go to Mayapur. So this is how we engage our sense of hearing. And then tad bhritya gatra sparshe anga sangamam. He engaged his senses of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. Now touching the body of the Lord's devotees, can somebody explain what does it mean? Touching the bodies, not just in a playful manner, but actively engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord. And in form of touch, like engaged in taking the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord. Not in a playful manner, but in a very prayerful mood. And then, ghranam తత్ పాద సరోజ సౌరభే. ఘ్రాణం మీన్స్ ది సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ స్మెల్. ఇన్ స్మెల్లింగ్ ద ఫ్రేగ్రెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది తులసి ఆఫర్ టు ద లార్డ్. సో టుడే మార్నింగ్ హిస్ గ్రేట్ శిక్షాష్టకం ప్రభు వాజ్ జస్ట్ సేయింగ్ హౌ ఈవన్ ది గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్ లైక్ సనత్ కుమార్ ఆర్ ఆల్ లిబరేటెడ్. దిస్ అ ఫేమస్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ జస్ట్ బై స్మెల్లింగ్ ది తులసి విచ్ ఈస్ ఆఫర్డ్ టు ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్ హౌ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఆర్ లిబరేటెడ్ లైక్ సనత్ కుమార్ ప్రభు లైక్ సనత్ కుమార్ అండ్ దెన్ శ్రీమత్ తులస్య రసనాం తదర్పితే. హీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ టెస్ట్ హీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ హిస్ టంగ్ ఇన్ టేస్టింగ్ ద లార్డ్స్ ప్రసాద్. హీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ హిస్ లెగ్స్ ఇన్ వాకింగ్ టు ది హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ ది టెంపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్. హిజ్ హెడ్ ఇన్ బౌయింగ్ డౌన్ బిఫోర్ ది లార్డ్ అండ్ ఆల్ హిజ్ డిజైర్స్ ఇన్ సర్వింగ్ ది లార్డ్ 24 hours a డే. So therefore, whatever activities Maharaj Ambarish performed was for the service of the Lord. He never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service in various engagements related to the Lord. And this is how, by his own example, Ambarish Maharaj showed us how we should increase our attachment to the Lord and be completely freed from all material desires. Because there was no opportunity for any of his senses to dwell upon his own material desires. Because he was constantly engaging them in certain activities which were directly related to the Lord's service or the Lord's glorification. So there was no opportunity for him to contemplate about, because everything begins from contemplation. We have this famous shlokas from Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. When we start contemplating about the sense objects, then the whole series of activities happen. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangastesho, you develop attachment and so on and so on and so on, until we completely get, you know, diverted from our original purpose, and that is to serve the Lord. So therefore, in order for us to be able to completely focused in our devotional service to the Lord, we should try to follow this example, try to emulate this example of Ambarish Maharaj, and try to see that whatever activities we perform, those activities are in some way related to the service of the Lord, in some way or the other. We may not be able to, I mean, we should not try to imitate Ambarish Maharaj in a very immature way, but we should try to emulate and pray to the Lord for guidance, so that we don't give any of our senses even a single opportunity to divert us away from the path of devotional service. This Ambarish Maharaj, he was very dear to the Lord. Why? Because he engaged all his senses, from the mind to the knowledge gathering senses to the working senses, all the senses, he engaged them actively in the direct devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So by such activities, gradually what happens is we give up all material desires, we give up our attachment to all our possessions. Slowly we develop detachment, and therefore by being very pleased by this unalloyed service of Ambarish Maharaj, the Lord becomes very pleased. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave Ambarish Maharaj his Sudarshan Chakra. And now it's not that Ambarish Maharaj wanted the Sudarshan Chakra and therefore he was doing all these austerities. It was not like that. But when what we should understand from this is, when a person engages in the devotional service of the Lord, automatically the devotee becomes fearless. Like even Lord Ram, there's this famous verse from Ramayana where Lord Ram says that even if somebody says my word, or even if somebody tells just once that, Lord Ram, I am yours, I surrender unto you, then what does he say? abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etat vratam mama. For such a person, abhayam, I give him fearlessness. Abhayam dadami tasmai, to that person. And this is my vow. So therefore, fearlessness comes automatically to any devotee of the Lord. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, kaute pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. So therefore, fearlessness is something which automatically is a part of a devotee's personality. He's not like, oh, what will happen to me? Even we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself asks Srivas Thakur, I see that you are, throughout the day, you are just chanting, you are just engaged in kirtan. You don't do any activity to take care of your family, to take care of your this. So the classic response that Srivas Thakur gives to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just claps 3 times. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what do you mean? What is this 3 times? He said, because, see, the whole idea is that I am completely engaged in the service of, in your service. So I am fully convinced, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam, ye jana paryupasate, tesham nityabhyuktanam, yogakshemam mahamyam. So for those devotees who are totally engaged, completely engaged in my glorification, in my loving service, for such people, I carry what they lack and I protect what they have. Yogakshemam mahamyam. So therefore, Srivas Thakur says, for me, there is no doubt that there will be, you will not provide for me. I don't have to worry about all those things. It is not going to happen ever. So time and time again we see, and here, the supreme example where the Lord actually gives his weapon, Sudarshan Chakra, to Ambarish Maharaj. So then, in order to worship Lord Krishna, Ambarish Maharaj along with his queen, they observed the vow of Ekadashi for 1 year. And in the month of Kartik, after observing the vow for 1 year, and after observing a fast for 3 nights, and after bathing in Yamuna, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in Vrindavan. Sorry, specifically Madhuvan, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. Specifically. So following these regulative principles, all the principles which are given in the scripture, scriptural injunctions about how Ekadashi fast has to be observed, and then on the next day, how the Lord has to be worshipped with all the 16 kinds of different paraphernalia, upacharas. And then Ambarish Maharaj, it was not that, you know, he was just eagerly waiting. Oh, okay, now tomorrow Ekadashi, fast breaking time is 6:15 a.m. Okay, so let me, like that famous story is there about monkeys. One day, few monkeys, they decided to observe Ekadashi fast. So what happened to the Ekadashi fasting of the monkeys? They were thinking, oh, we are fasting, okay. So after 1 or 2 hours, they're thinking, oh, tomorrow, we are already feeling very weak because of fasting. What will happen if tomorrow morning, you know, we are so weak that we cannot move from where we are? So better we should make arrangements to keep all those, you know, so that we can break our fast at the right time, that Parana time. So we should keep all the, whatever we need to break the fast, few grains and everything close by, so that we don't have to go far. If we are very weak, we may not be able to go far, no? So therefore, we have to keep everything close by. So they got everything, you know, sweets, these, so many things, they kept close by. Then they said, what if tomorrow we are so weak, we are not able to move our limbs at all and pick this up. So now, while we have strength, let us keep them and pick them up, hold in our hand, you know, so that if we don't have the strength tomorrow, maybe it will be today, it will be useful for us. So they said, okay. So they, some few things they picked up, whatever they could pick up in their hand, they held it like this. So they were
watching in their hands. Then he said, but what if we are not able to, you know, it's in our hand, but we are so weak, we are not able to lift it and put it in our mouth. So what do we do? Okay, so if you have observed monkeys, when they eat, they just keep stuffing food in their mouth and they have, you know, cheeks bulge out. So they store in the mouth and then slowly, slowly they swallow. They chew it and swallow. That's how monkeys do. So they say, let us stuff it in our mouth. We won't swallow. We won't break Ekadashi. We'll follow Ekadashi very pakka. But it is just to, so that tomorrow we don't know. No, we are so, I mean, we are so frail monkeys, you know, already we are frail. We don't know whether, never in history it has ever happened that monkeys observed Ekadashi fast. So we don't have any historical data to go upon. So let us keep it ready. We'll stuff it into our mouth and keep. We won't chew, we won't swallow, nothing. So then for some time it was there, and slowly, slowly some of the sweets and other things, the taste started going to their, on their tongue, and they just, oh, we already put it in our mouth, so we might as well eat it nicely and enjoy it while it is there. By tomorrow we don't know, somebody else will come and take it away. What can we do? So that was the end of the Ekadashi fasting by the monkeys. So therefore, this is not how, you know, generally, you know, even devotees, many devotees, we are eagerly waiting. Oh, when 6:15, 6, 6, oh, usually it is japa time. When the fast breaking time starts, it is japa time. So everybody is like, oh, 6 o'clock. 6, 2, are, abhi toh. Okay. Then they chant for some more time. 6, 6, kya ho gaya aaj? Ghadi ka kaata aage ja hi nahi raha hai, kya chal raha hai? And 6, if it is 6:15, 6:13, okay, 6:13 ho gaya. Abhi sab glass, pani, ye wo sab tayar karte, plate weight ready rakte. So the whole idea is, this is not the, I mean, okay, as Kali Yuga beings, we can, this is many, for many devotees or many people, it is the best that we can do. But Ambarish Maharaj is exhibiting here how he broke the Ekadashi fast. So before breaking the Ekadashi fast, he followed all the regulative principles of performing Abhishek, and he performed the bathing ceremony for the Lord. He worshipped the Lord with all 16 upacharas. That is the standard of worship, deity worship, is when you offer the Lord various upacharas, and they are 16 in number, beginning with asan, swagatam, then padyam, water to wash his feet, then argyam, to wash his face, then achamaniyam, water to sip, then you offer him some sweet madhuparka. Madhuparka is a combination of milk, yogurt, honey, ghee and sugar. And after that you again offer him punarachamaniyam to sip his mouth, to, you know, purify his mouth. Then you offer him bathing, you bathe him. So this is the procedure which goes every day for the Lord here, even Radha Gopinath. So every day this 16 upacharas are offered, and the Lord bathing, then you offer, after bathing you offer him new fresh clothes, then vastra, and then after vastra ornaments, abharan, what else, you remember, then you offer nice fragrant scent, then flowers, then you offer incense, you offer lamp, and finally you have to offer very nice palatable dishes for the Lord to enjoy. So these are 16 items that I just said. So after doing all this, properly worshiping the Lord, now that is not, that was not all, you know, with attention and devotion Ambarish Maharaj worshipped Krishna, and also he worshipped the Brahmanas. How he worshipped Brahmanas? Not only worshipped the Brahmanas, he satisfied all the guests who arrived at his house, especially the Brahmanas. He gave in charity 60 crores of cows. And just, yeah, 60 crores. You heard the number right. And not just cows, you know, just some cows. No, those cows were covered with gold, Their horns were covered with gold plating, their hooves were covered with silver plating, and all the cows were well decorated with garments, and they were milk-giving cows. That means they had calves, they were mild in nature, young and beautiful. So after distributing these cows, these kind of cows, 60 crore in number, then the king sumptuously fed all the brahmanas. And when they were fully satisfied, he was about to observe the end of Ekadashi with their permission by breaking the fast. So exactly at that time, when he was about to break his fast, what we call in Sanskrit and Hindi as Atithi. Atithi means somebody who just comes without any prior notice or prior intimation, uninvited, just walks in, you know. That is Atithi. Tithi means date. So you are given a prior intimation or prior notice, okay, this date, this person is coming. But Atithi means no intimation, no prior notice. Somebody just walks in, he's Atithi. And who is the Atithi who walks in, the uninvited or person who has come without any intimation? Durvasa Muni. Now Durvasa Muni is a very great yogi. He has got his own powers and he is also Brahmana. So immediately when King Ambarish saw Durvasa Muni coming there, he offered him a seat. First of all, he got up from his place, he offered him a seat. That is always how, you know, that is the minimum standard of welcome in Vedic times. That you first get up, you offer a person a seat to be seated. And he worshipped him. And then sitting at the feet of Durvasa Muni, King Ambarish asked him, please honor Prasad. So Durvasa Muni said, yes, yes, I will definitely do so. But first I have to perform certain of my spiritual practices. So I will just have bath, go to Yamuna, have bath, and then I will come back. So Durvasa Muni, while he was gone, there was only Bhagavatam describes, there was just one Muhurta of the Dwadashi remaining. Muhurta is actually 24 minutes. A duration of 24 minutes is Muhurta. So only that much time was remaining for the Dwadashi Tithi to end. So therefore, it was imperative that the fast should be broken immediately. So then, Ambarish Maharaj was in a fix. He has asked Durvasa Muni to please honor Prasad, but at the same time he is not there, but the time for breaking the Ekadashi fast was passing. So then Ambarish Maharaj turned to the learned Brahmanas and he asked them, now this is the situation, what should I do? It will be an insult or it will not be proper for me to eat before my guest has eaten. But at the same time the fast has to be broken. So then, along by consulting the Brahmanas and along with their consent, King Ambarish decides to break his fast by drinking water. So therefore, drinking water may be accepted as breaking his fast, but at the same time he has not eaten. So therefore, with the consent of the Brahmanas, King Ambarish decides to break his fast by drinking water. So then, after King Ambarish broke his fast by drinking water, he meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart and waited for the return of Durvasa Muni. Now, Durvasa Muni, he performed all his ritualistic ceremonies which were to be performed at noon, and he returned from the bank of the Yamuna. The king received him very well, offering all the respects. But Durvasa Muni, he by his mystic power could understand that Ambarish Maharaj had drunk water. So Durvasa Muni was hungry already, but still he was also not only hungry but also angry. So Durvasa Muni, he spoke to Ambarish Maharaj. And he started deriding him, started giving all kinds of you know, bad words. And he's saying that such a person, he is proud of his material opulence and his position. And he is transgressing the laws of religion. You have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. And because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you. So when Durvasa Muni said this, he uprooted a bunch of hair from his head and he created a demon which from that hair, and he sent that demon to punish Ambarish Maharaj. Now we have already seen prior to this that Ambarish Maharaj had so much pleased the Lord that the Lord had given his personal weapon Sudarshan to Ambarish Maharaj. Now, not that because, like, you know, nowadays many countries they have all these first, what is that? Deterrence. One country makes one kind of missile, the other countries make a bigger missile. So then the first country makes one more bigger missile, you know. So it's not like deterrence. So it was not like Ambarish Maharaj said, oh, what this demon you are throwing? I already have Sudarshan Chakra. You know that? It was not like, you know, comparison. See, I have Sudarshan. What is this demon? This is nothing. So when we discussed that part and I said that one of the characteristic features of a devotee is he is fearless. His fearlessness does not stem from the fact of about what kind of power he has. That is not the cause of his fearlessness. He's not fearless because, oh, I have Sudarshan, oh, I have this weapon, I have Brahmastra, I have that. No. It's not competitive spirit like that. In today's world, we see like that, you know. Every country, when one country makes one missile, the other country says, oh, we have to make a bigger missile. Then the first country makes one more bigger missile, just to counteract that, so that the balance is maintained, so that, you know, the world remains in peace. Why? Because all the countries are making bigger and bigger missiles to keep the world in peace. It sounds funny. You make bigger missiles, bigger weapons, and what is the purpose? So that peace is maintained, you know, so that peace is maintained. So Ambarish Maharaj, his reaction when this demon came to kill him is very classic reaction. The king, upon seeing this demon, was not at all disturbed, and he did not move even slightly from his position. And what happened? He was totally unconcerned. It was not that, oh, I have Sudarshan. But the Sudarshan, because the Lord had given, and the Lord, it's not just like some, you know, some wheel of some vehicle. You know, if we have so many tires lying around. So those tires are not, you know, suddenly they will not become active. But Sudarshan Chakra is a personality. Like we go to Srirangam or so many places, we have temples or altars specifically for Sudarshan. They call it Sudarshan Alwar, Chakrata Alwar. So that is a personality. So just like, it's not just like, okay, the Lord gave him one disc, like some CD or some DVD. Not disc like that. Sudarshan means not like that. He's actually entrusted Sudarshan Chakra, that means the personality Sudarshan, to be with Ambarish Maharaj. So he's like a bodyguard. So bodyguard, when he sees somebody coming to attack the master, he doesn't have to be told, hey, attacker, ab isko kuch karo. No. He will automatically react. So similarly, Sudarshan Chakra was there. He was there with Ambarish Maharaj. And when this demon came, Ambarish Maharaj was totally detached. He always, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor. His mind was always engaged in meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord. He's not thinking, oh, demon is coming, abhi kya hoga, are meko jala dega. No. Usko usse kuch lena dena nahi. He's not at all concerned. But at the same time, his bodyguard, Sudarshan Chakra, he totally burns to ashes that demon. Bodyguard does kaam kar leta apna, bas. After killing the demon, after burning the demon, now Sudarshan Chakra is a, you know, is a personality. So it's not like, you know, somebody fires a bullet at you. You know. So then if somebody fires back the bullet from his own gun, the bullet will not, if that person who has tried to attack you, if we try to shoot him, and the original person after shooting us, if he moves, the bullet will not take a turn and go, "Are, ye udhar gaya, usko marte." It's not because it is not conscious. But Sudarshan Chakra is not like that. Sudarshan Chakra wants to destroy the source of that problem, from where that demon came. So after killing the demon, Sudarshan Chakra started running after, because it's a conscious weapon. That is how it is. It is not some just bullet or some weapon of this world, which is dead matter, which doesn't understand, which has no consciousness. But Sudarshan Chakra, after killing the demon, wanted to destroy the root cause of that problem, root cause of the troublemaker. So started running after Ambarish Maharaj. And it's, sorry, thank you. He started running after Durvas Muni. And Durvas Muni, just imagine, we can understand what power he had as a yogi. He started running all over the 14 planetary systems, and he ran right up to Satyaloka, and he went to Brahma, and he asked Brahma, "Please protect me from this heat of Sudarshan Chakra. I cannot bear it. It's burning me." And Brahmaji is just folding his hand and saying, "Sorry, wrong number. You have come to the wrong place. This is beyond me. Please carry on." So then he keeps running. He goes to Kailash. He goes to Lord Shiva. And he has the power to disturb Lord Shiva also in his meditation, and please ask him for protection. And then Lord Shiva says again, "Sorry, wrong number. Not possible. This is not possible even for me." So then, just imagine what kind of a yogi this Durvas Muni was. He went in his self-same body right up to Vaikuntha. And he goes to Vaikuntha. We just heard these small children, such nice pastime, we heard them perform. And we heard about Narad Muni going to Vaikuntha. But Narad Muni is a very special personality. Even Durvas Muni had got that kind of power that he could go to Vaikuntha. He went to Vishnu and he said, "Please protect me. Your Sudarshan Chakra is running after me. I cannot bear the heat." So Sudarshan Chakra was given by Lord Vishnu only, Narayan only, to Ambarish Maharaj. And Durvas Muni is telling, "Your Sudarshan Chakra is running after me. Do something." And again Vishnu says, "Sorry, wrong number." Durvas Muni says, "Come on, this is your Sudarshan Chakra. How can you say, 'I cannot do anything'?" So then the Lord reveals the secret, how he can save himself. So then Lord Narayan says that, "My devotees," he says, "my pure devotee is always within the, you know, I am always attached so much to my devotees." Very famous verse from the Bhagavatam, he says, "Sadavo hridayam mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham." My pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always within the heart of my pure devotee. Why? Because my devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So therefore, O Durvasa Muni, let me now advise you for your own protection. Vishnu is telling Durvasa Muni. And what advice he gives? "By offending Ambarish Maharaj, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment's delay. And he is the only person, if you can satisfy Ambarish Maharaj, then there will be peace for you." So this is what Lord Vishnu advises Durvasa Muni, that the only way that you will be able to save yourself from this fire of Sudarshan Chakra is if you can satisfy Ambarish Maharaj. So now Durvasa Muni, by the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, He again goes to Ambarish Maharaj and falls at his lotus feet. Now Ambarish Maharaj is very humble, and you know, he becomes very embarrassed and ashamed that a Brahmana, a great yogi like Durvasa Muni, he is coming and falling at his feet. So therefore, Ambarish Maharaj, he starts offering prayers to Sudarshan and tells him, please. He offers prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra so that the Sudarshan Chakra becomes pacified. Okay? So now, when Ambarish Maharaj offered prayers to Sudarshan Chakra, the Sudarshan Chakra became appeased and did not kill Durvasa Muni. So therefore, when this happens, a few verses Durvasa Muni says, which are very relevant. Durvasa Muni says that, my dear king, today I have experienced the greatness of the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the greatness of the devotees of Supreme Personality of Godhead? And what is that? Although I have committed an offense unto you, you have prayed for my good fortune. So this is one of the hallmarks or a characteristic which very perfectly defines who is a devotee, who never takes any offense, and who is very much compassionate. Aho ananta dasana mahatvam drishta madhyame krutagasopi yadrajan mangalani samihase. Although I have committed an offense, it's not that, you know, that is the characteristic of a devotee. Devotee doesn't keep count. No, no. Devotees totally disregard any discomfort to them. This is what we have to aspire for. Again, I would like to repeat the disclaimer which I gave right at the beginning of when I started describing the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj. We have to try to emulate. We have to pray to the Lord that we should be able to emulate the characteristics of Ambarish Maharaj, the kind of devotional service that Ambarish Maharaj has performed. We can, if we try to imitate in our immature state of devotional service, we will miserably fail. So this is a very high level of display of devotional attitude, and that is, Durvasa Muni says, this is a characteristic of a pure devotee. Although I have committed an offense, to the Supreme Personality, to your lotus feet, Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj, but still, you have prayed for my good fortune. You have prayed. For those who have achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up? This is the second verse that Durvasa Muni says in his glorification of Ambarish Maharaj. First thing he says is that, even though I have committed an offense unto you, you have prayed for my good fortune. And then, duskara konu sadhunam dustyajo va mahatmanam yai sangrihito bhagavan satvatam rishabo harihi. So for those pure devotees of the Lord who have achieved his lotus feet, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up? So in our conditioned lives, as conditioned living entities within this material world, we have always so many aspirations to do so many things in our life, to do so many things in our spiritual life, in our devotional life, in our material life, in our professional lives, in our careers, so many things. So here, Durvasa Muni is giving us a slight hint, like even Bhagavatam, we have the other verse also. Akamo sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. So whether we are akama or without any desires, we are totally desireless, which is rare, or we have so many desires. I want this, I want that, I want to achieve this, I want to achieve that, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this also or that also. So many things, which is more common or which is more the norm. So akamo, whether we are desireless or sarvakamova, we have all kinds of desires. Or we have desire for moksha, moksha kama udaradhi. We just want to be liberated from this material existence. Whatever be the kind of desire we have, what is the advice that Srimad Bhagavatam gives us? Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivrena, by intense bhakti yogena, devotional service. Towards whom? Yajeta purusha param. We have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna through intense devotional service. Very clear, very emphatic. And again we see here, Durvasa Muni is hinting towards this. We have so many desires, material, spiritual, personal, whatever you can put it, under whatever adjective. But if you want to fulfill their desires, then what is the sure way of doing that? To achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all pure devotees. For somebody who has achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is impossible to do. Or rather, what is impossible to do? Duskara konu sadhunam. What is impossible to do? And dustyaja va mahatmanam. Dustyaja. What is impossible to give up? So we have so many bad habits. We have so many practices which we know within the core of our heart are actually not good for us. But we feel, oh, somehow it is so difficult to give it up. That's what actually a habit is. Like few devotees give this example. What is a habit? Habit is H-A-B-I-T. If you remove the H, still a bit. A-B-I-T remains. You remove A, still bit remains. You remove the B, still it remains. It just doesn't go away. It just sticks to you. And many times, even though externally we may be expressing a desire to give up something, it is our internal thing only that we keep holding on to it. And that is the reason why even in the 9 steps leading from Shraddha to Prem, the reason why this particular Anartha Nivritti stage is the longest. From Shraddha to Prem, if we see, Anartha Nivritti stage of our devotional service is the longest. Why? Because first and foremost, it requires for us to know that we have anarthas. Because generally we feel that, I am the most saintly personality around here, seems like. So first step in Anartha Nivritti is identifying, I am filled with so much anarthas. And after understanding that, the process of Nivritti, first of all, we have to, most often we realize that it's not that we want to give up and the anarthas are holding on to us. Rather, we are holding on to our own anarthas very tightly because we perceive that they give us pleasure. These anarthas give us pleasure. But this pleasure is only on the bodily platform. So therefore, dustyajo va mahatmanam. What is impossible to give up? So in this process of our devotional service, if we are really keen about giving up, then we have to, it's like, like we say, Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, the means and the end are the same. Chanting Hare Krishna, by chanting Hare Krishna, what do you want to do? You want to chant more Hare Krishna. That is, the means and the end are the same. So therefore, if somebody wants to give up, why he wants to give up the anarthas? So that he can become a better devotee. Okay. So if you become a very good devotee, pure devotee, that's what, it's like a cyclic chain. You become very good devotee, then what is the difficulty in giving up anarthas? So we have to try to increase our devotional tendencies. And one of these ways is fasting on Ekadashi. Yan nama shruti matrena puman bhavati nirmala. What is impossible for the servants of the devotees, by very hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one is purified. And then finally, Durvasa Muni says, O king, overlooking my offenses, you have saved my life, and therefore I am very much obliged to you because you are so merciful. So therefore, we have to take this opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially make an endeavor on days like Ekadashi to go out of our way. Generally, you know, in some parts of India, especially in Maharashtra, generally the discussion is, oh, Ekadashi na, Ekadashi mande dupat khasi. Kya problem? So it's so much in this. Even many times, sometimes if I am traveling somewhere and devotees ask to come for prasad at their place, and suppose it is Ekadashi, so sometimes I feel the Ekadashi prasad is more opulent and there is more variety than even on some other days. So the point being that we have to try to follow Ekadashi, and as I said in the beginning, it should be more of feasting for the spiritual senses and fasting for the material senses. So feasting for the spiritual senses, like all of us are sitting here hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Ambarish Maharaj has explained how to engage all the senses. So with the eyes we should take the darshan of the beautiful forms of the Lord. With the ears we should hear the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should hear the holy names. With the tongue we should always talk about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chant His holy names. With the nose, we should smell the flowers, the tulsi which has been offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. In such a way, we should always, you know, from the touch, in all possible senses, we should try to engage more and more in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially on days like Ekadashi. Because on days like Ekadashi, the Lord is more pleased when devotees foregoing or trying, giving up some comforts, they try to please the Lord more. So therefore, we should take the opportunity of such auspicious days, Madhava Tithis like Ekadashi and the appearance days of the Lord, to engage in the more and more in the service of the Lord, to engage our spiritual senses in spiritual activities and to fast the material senses. So I would like to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. तो हम प्रभु जी का हृदय से धन्यवाद बोलना चाहेंगे तीन बार हरि बोल बोलकर.
हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल.